Okay, we're recording. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you all this morning. I don't know if those of you who were here last week, if you want to give me an update on anything that happened while I was gone. Any thoughts pop up?
We had a wonderful facilitator.
Yes, I know you did. Joel, thank you so much for being that facilitator last week. It was great. All right, well then, that's this is our sixth week? Anyway, we're doing number six.
Yes.
So if you're a six, you'll enjoy this. If you live with a six like I do, you'll enjoy it. And it's a great number. Of course, they're all great numbers. So as we have said, you know, the Enneagram is a tool to help us understand who we are. And if you were in church this morning, and Casey spoke so beautifully about how Jesus loves us and looks at us in our innermost being and loves what we are in our innermost being. And that's what the Enneagram tries to help us get at, is the beauty that is our innermost being. And then recognize the layers that we may have put over us to kind of make it in this world, kind of layers like layers on an onion. And that if we peel those away and get to that beauty that is us within, we can grow and become, as Casey said, all that we were meant to be. So the Enneagram divides up the nine numbers into three ways of meeting the world, three centers, and they are the head, the heart, and the gut. The instinctive or body center seeks autonomy, and they are the eights, the nines, and the ones. We haven't done them yet. We finished the feeling heart center, which seeks attention, and they are the two, the three, and the four. And now we're right smack dab in the middle of the head, the thinking center, which seeks security. And they do it in different ways, but that is the goal for a five, a six, and a seven. And we said that there are arrows that take you to different places depending upon whether you're in stress or whether you're in integration. And so all the numbers kind of begin to play into who we are. We're not just one-dimensional, are we? So looking at all the numbers, even those that you are not, both helps you understand other aspects of yourself and also people that you may be close to or people you have to interact with on a daily basis at work or whatever, in the neighborhood, at church, whatever. Today we're looking at type 6. Type 6 is also almost always called the loyalist, and their phrase can be something like, you can count on me, but what can I count on? They're also called the committed, the cynic, the playful, the counselor, the witty, and the trustworthy. So the loyalist, when they are resourceful, when things are going well, they tend to be law-abiding. They take a dutiful approach to life, doing their duty. The man in the story of today in the gospel, the rich young man, could very well have been a six in what he says to Jesus. They're honorable, faithful, responsible, dedicated, and courageous in protecting their family and their community, and they want to make the world a safer and more predictable place. On the less resourceful side, when sixes are not doing as well as they might like to be doing, they may become overly preoccupied with danger and threats to their security or the security of those to whom they are committed. This may cause them to be fearful and full of doubt, or drive them to be counter-fearful, overly confrontational, and aggressive. So it depends on how the six filters that fear that they have. They either go inward and try to escape it, or they confront and try to rid themselves of the fear that way. And you can be a six and do either one. So at their best, like you said, they're loyal and likable and prepared, always prepared, and trustworthy and compassionate and practical and supportive. When they're not doing so well, at their worst, they can be hypervigilant, dependent, unpredictable, judgmental, sometimes paranoid, defensive, and very much self-doubting. belief, the sixth, is that the world is threatening and dangerous, and you really can't trust other people. Their core coping strategy is they look for something outside themselves to believe in, some authority figure or system that will help them make sense of life and give them that security that they long for. Their core fear is that they would be helpless or defenseless against all of these dangers that are out there in life. And their core desire is to be uniform and to have support, security, and guidance. Primarily security. Their divine gift, what God has given the six, is faithfulness and courage. Their shadow side is fear and anxiety. And again, what they avoid most is deviance and punishment. They don't want to stand out, they don't want to be different, they want to comply with the rules. Because in complying to the rules and doing what they should do, they can feel safe. Their inner critic says that they're inadequate, and their transformational growth comes from faith in themselves and faith in God. That's what it will help them grow. They can develop faith in themselves and faith in God. Then they can step out and take the risks that sixes often don't want to take. So if you're a six, what you may miss in life is a sense of inner security. You may always feel a little anxious, a little fearful. You miss having a relaxed attitude towards your life and yourself. You're not really very carefree. You just can't go with the flow. You just can't kind of let it happen as it happens. Probably wouldn't take a trip without planning well in advance. You miss being inner-directed and trusting in yourself and others. You're looking for something else that you can trust. And so your passion is anxiety. Your defense mechanism is a projection. So you think other people are thinking or feeling what really you're thinking and feeling. Don't all people feel anxious all the time? No. The wounded childhood message was that it was not okay to trust themselves. Somehow they got that message from the folks in their lives when they were little that trusting themselves was not good, that the world was a dangerous place, that they had to be cautious, that they couldn't cross that street, that the boogeyman would get them. There was something about the world that just wasn't safe, and they had to be careful. And that was the message. They couldn't trust themselves. They had to rely on something outside themselves to keep them safe. And the message they need to hear is, you're safe. Now, I will say that in this world that we live in right now, sixes may not have it all wrong, because there are a lot of things that are dangerous. So we could learn from a six, but it's, of course, if it's taken to the extreme, where the six won't take any risks. And I don't mean, you know, crossing the tollway, walking across the tollway, not those kinds of risks, but you know what I mean. So God's invitation to you, who is a six, I invite you to be free from the fear of uncertainty and the false notion that you must be watchful and diligent to assure your protection from harm. You are safe with me. I am a faithful God who will always be with you. The message of six longs to hear. So sixes believe the world is dangerous, so that making allies is very important. They need that support system. They need stability in relationships. And sometimes they'll test you in that relationship to make sure that you really are going to be there for them. So they may throw out some kind of roadblock to your relationship just to see if you're going to stick it out or if you're going to take off. They find it very hard to relax. Sixes join groups and like to adhere to the group's rules and regulations. And sometimes they join groups that have a lot of rules and regulations just because that makes them feel better. They don't want a loosey-goosey organization to join. They want something that says, this is what you do, when you do it, and how you do it. And then they can feel good. They tend not to confront authority directly, but they probably will complain about that authority figure to others. So they won't go directly to the person they have a problem with, but they'll triangle somebody else in to share their complaint, and then maybe they'll go and tell the person. They like to conform, and they rarely deviate from a group's norms. They may be reluctant to take on authority, as they then might face opposition. tend to be distrustful of others. They suspect a hidden agenda, and so they're slow to warm up. They're not going to make friends with you quickly. They're going to assess. They're going to see what you got behind that smile. What do you want from them? What's going on here? Are you safe? Can be cynical or even seek comic relief to break their own tension. Often see what can go wrong and are aware of all the potential pitfalls. These are the people who say that the glass is half empty, and they kind of believe in Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will. And they're always looking for worst-case scenarios. Good to have sometimes in company or in a relationship when you're making plans for the future, because they can see all the possible pitfalls. On the other hand, they can be paralyzed because they can see all the possible pitfalls. Rehearse new situations in their minds beforehand so that they're super prepared for anything that can come. Make very loyal friends, and they want that same loyalty in return. And they need reassurance, positive feedback, and encouragement. Sixes are capable of great acts of loyalty and compassion. They can even be very heroic in what they will do. Often they play the devil's advocate, the one who's looking for the problem, what's missing. And when they're afraid, they can become undermining of the group, or they can try to control it. So their actions can seem like they're really bucking the group, but in fact they're testing it and trying to make sure that it's a safe place. So, if you're a six, there are certain beliefs that limit you. You're not talking about those beliefs to yourself when you're driving to work. These are operating on a subconscious level. You think on a subconscious level that the world is a dangerous and threatened place, that most people have a hidden agenda, and so you better not trust them because they're after something, and you don't know what, but you'll figure it out. If your safety depends on knowing those hidden agendas, what do they got up their sleeve? What are they trying to do here? That you must rely on something, like a religion or a belief system or some kind of organization, something outside of yourself, in order to feel secure. And to be loved, you have to be loyal and supportive all of the time. So don't dare say something critical to your loved one, because then that might not be seen as loyal. You might be a six if you gather opinions before deciding, if you worry about worst-case scenarios, if you struggle with self-doubt and need validation, if you feel you can't do everything expected of you. Sixes often get overwhelmed. Sixes often take on more than they should because they need to be loyal to every group and organization that they're part of. If you value order, plans, and rules, you ask a lot of questions. If you're very loyal to your family and your friends, if you generally have this sense of anxiety that kind of permeates your life often, if you're suspicious of others and you find it hard to trust, you might be a six. Sixes would never dream of hearing a noise and thinking that it was not a burglar. Sixes would never dream of forgiving themselves. Sixes would never dream of not taking an opinion poll before a big decision. And it could be a big decision like, where will we go for dinner? And, you know, you're going to poll everybody in the family before you make a decision, if it's your decision to go. Where does everybody want to go? Because you want to please everybody, so you want to do the right thing. Going to a doctor without checking credentials, you know, getting on Google and checking his name out or her name out and seeing if they've got some positive stars next to their name. Being confident about a big purchase. It's really hard for a six to buy a car or a house or anything that costs a lot of money. Very hard, because they're so afraid that something's going to go wrong. This car's going to be a lemon. This house is going to fall over in the first storm. Any questions before we go further? Or any thoughts or comments about a six? Any sixes you know? Or you want to confess that you are one? If Ed were here, I would make him confess. E.T., you are? Yes? Okay. Sixes are awesome people. Of course, all the numbers are awesome people. But as you can see, there's different levels of health with a six. So they can be very self-affirming and engaging and committed. Or they can be obedient and as a kind of a traditionalist, always wanted to do it the way it's always been done, because that we can count on that. It can be kind of ambivalent. They can try to overcompensate and be a tough guy. Or they can drop down into the real unhealthy areas of being insecure, hysterical, overreacting, or self-defeating masochist. All right, so if you're a healthy six, healthy sixes are the bedrock and foundation of any society. We need sixes, that loyalty and that firmness and commitment, we need them. They work well with people, and they believe in cooperation. They're extremely hardworking for common goals. Once you've got them on board, they are going to give you their all. They like to provide, as well as have, stability, security, and loyalty in all areas of their life. They like being part of some cause or movement that is greater than themselves. Healthy sixes are honorable and conscientious, meticulous, good with details, and have an eye for seeing potential problems before they arise. Like I said, they're great to have on a team, in a company, or in a church when you're planning something, strategic planning. They will find the loopholes in the plan so that you can make it better. They're persevering and loyal, especially towards their family, their friends, and their community. Average sixes, and probably some of us are average, whatever number we are, can become self-doubting, fearful, and anxious, especially when the situation doesn't feel like it's in control, not fully sure of themselves or who or what they can trust, have a difficult time trusting their own mind, having a difficult time trusting their own mind even when they've made sure that they're right. They're still going to have difficulty. They can be defensive and mistrustful and suspicious that others might turn against them or take advantage of them if they're not careful. Fear the worst and are hypervigilant, anticipate problems, can get overextended with too many commitments, can be unpredictable in their emotional reactions and pessimistic, indecisive, and they can procrastinate a bit. So that's average sixes. Unhealthy sixes, those that are kind of on that low end of the totem pole, can become increasingly insecure and feel a strong need to escape the pressures of their doubts, can be stubborn and defensive, can react explosively, and then become fearful of losing their security. So they've held it in, they've tried to be loyal, they've done everything they were supposed to do, it didn't work out, they become angry, they don't know how to express it, so they explode, and then, oh my gosh, I might have just lost these people that I need. I might have turned them all against me. What's going to happen now? I'm all alone again. Become paranoid that others are out to get them, and have a deep fear of abandonment on the lower end of the scale. Thoughts? Questions?
And then they purchase firearms.
And then they might purchase firearms. This is true. Four coping strategies for a six. If you find yourself being a six, try to look for something or someone outside yourself to believe in and put loyalty into. Vigilance and alertness, looking for hidden agendas. Doubt, mistrust others, test others' loyalty. Question others' intentions. This is not coping strategies. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened to that slide. Some of them are. Being warm and pleasing to disarm potential hostility. Fitting in society, working for common goals. Those can be things that can be helpful. Okay, here we go. Things sixes can do to help themselves. Accept that some uncertainty and insecurity are a natural part of life. You know, life is not always going to be what you wanted it to be. Things are not going to always turn out perfectly. Sixes need to be able to be okay with that. They need to practice trusting and having faith in themselves, in others, and in the universe. Yeah, there's some dangers out there, but it's not all bad. You can look for the good. Learn to be and act as their own authority rather than looking to others. Trusting what they think, trusting what they feel, trusting what they believe they should do. Ask themselves, am I imagining this? Is it a genuine intuition Or am I projecting my fears onto something else and then making that real? Notice how often you just try to stay busy as a way to reduce your awareness of anxiety. Sometimes when we get real anxious, one of the ways we try to cope with that is just to get busy, and then we can forget about it. It can go away. So part of what can help a six is to kind of allow themselves to be quiet and not to be constantly on the go. Use your imagination to create pleasant options rather than letting worst-case scenarios dominate your thinking. Instead of being sure that you're buying a lemon when you buy a new car, maybe you could think about all the lovely things about this new car that are going to make your life better. You know? Maybe you could, instead of being sure that your vacation is going to just be rained out, you could think about all the ways you could enjoy yourself in the rain. You could project threatening scenarios to the ludicrous limit so you can diffuse your anxiety and laugh at them. Go ahead and take it to the limit. Go ahead and say, what's the worst thing that can happen? And make it so silly that you have to laugh, that you have to find something funny about it, and then that might break the anxiety for you. Notice how you tend to doubt your own capacities and decisions. Notice how you just don't trust yourself. You're always relying on the other person. And take time to remember that you've done good things, that you've accomplished a lot, that you are a valuable person, and you can believe in yourself and do without having to get the good housekeeping seal of approval before you act. Here's a parable for a six, and it's a long one, and I didn't type it all. But it's the parable when Jesus was coming near Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately, he said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive kingly power and then returned, calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 pounds and said to them, trade with them until I come back. And do you remember the different servants? They used the money differently, didn't they? Some invested it, took risks, and made a lot of money. And what did the landowner say when he came back? Good job, right? High five for you. You did just what I wanted. You're going to stick with me. I'm happy with you. Some of them, the sixes in the group, did what? They hid the money, they swirled it away, they were afraid to take risks, they thought of all the awful things that could happen, and what did the landowner say when he came back? Yeah, right? They thought they were being loyal, they thought they were protecting the money, and instead they did not please the landowner. Any thoughts on that parable that strike you?
Quiet group thing.
Okay, Peter might have been a six, some say. How would you see Peter as a six? I kind of took my head too. Mm-hmm. So how's that? But what would you say about Peter being a six? Was he loyal? He was very loyal.
The
rock, yeah. Was he also a little nervous sometimes about? Yeah, a little afraid sometimes, a little cautious, ran away, right? Ruth from the Old Testament, maybe thou goest, I will go. Her mother-in-law, very loyal, I'm sticking with you, through thick and thin, not going to give up. Jesus, of course, is a healthy six, as he is a healthy everything. I thought of a couple of ways that he was a healthy six. Maybe you can think of others. He was very loyal to his mother, even though he said, you know, I don't have a family. But when it came down to it, and he was on the cross, he gave his mother to John. Instead, take care of her. He wanted, even at the end, to make sure that she was going to be okay. He was always obedient to his father's will, always loyal, and faithful to his friends. Right? He didn't desert them, they deserted him, right? But he stuck with them throughout. Any other ways you think Jesus was a healthy six?
Committed to a cause greater than himself.
Committed to a cause greater than himself, right. Anything else?
Able to bring a group of people together and form a support system.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He did get a good support, well, an adequate support system together. Yes. And certainly tried to. I guess we're part of that support system today, huh?
Sure.
Anything else about Jesus you can think of? All right. Spiritual growth for six would be to shift from fretting about uncertainty to trusting. By lessening reliance on others, sixes will enjoy their lives more. I've had sixes tell me that they've become so paralyzed and so afraid that they just don't enjoy anything. They would describe it as a purgatory, living in purgatory, because they were just so afraid to do anything, lest it go wrong. So they did nothing.
Analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Good, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sure, that could be. All the numbers, when you get down to those low levels, are in danger of hurting themselves in some way or another to avoid the pain that mental illness causes us. Yes, they can grow if they can access their inner resources to push through the fears and live courageously. That takes time, right? You got to work at that.
I think about my mother-in-law, who was one of the sweetest people I've ever known, but just as an example, when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, which she survived and fought through valiantly and faced courageously, but when she was diagnosed, her comment was, well, I guess I've just been waiting for this to happen to me my whole life.
Finally, that bad news that I knew was coming finally got here. Now I'm right, see? Yeah, right. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it almost feels good to have the bad stuff happen because it validates your fears. Yeah. And you can see that puts you on a never-ending cycle. Waiting for something bad to happen, and then when it happens, then see it happen, and then waiting for the next shoe to drop, and on and on. So it's not a happy place.
People like that just innately unhappy, or...
Well, I think it's hard to be happy when you're at the lower levels of any of these numbers, right? But yeah, I think there's longing for enjoyment of life, but just this anxiety that keeps them from being able to let loose. They can't relax. You know, they can't go on a vacation unless every ticket has been bought and every hotel room has been reserved beforehand. Everything has to be, because we might not get a room. You know, we might go to this place. There might be... No room. We just can't go on a road trip and say, well, we'll stop whenever we feel like it. Because what if there's no rooms? You know, so there's always that sense of what if, what if, what if. So if your person says what if a lot, you might be sick. And there's, you know, like I said, there's a good side to that. Because sometimes we do need to plan. You know, and if you're going to Disney World, it isn't bad to buy those tickets, those fast passes, and make a reservation ahead of time. Because you might get there if you're going for Christmas vacation and not find a room, right? But maybe if you're going in November or September, you might be luckier. But don't go on spring break without making a plan. So, you know, you need them. It's just when it gets overextended that it becomes an issue. Deuteronomy says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Strong, important word, verse 6, keep close. I mean, and Jody Pulse, that's what it is, but she said, or he, anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you very far. And that is so true. That is so true. So here's a little lighthearted. There are probably a lot of great bravery workshops out there. You know, the Cowardly Lion is a good example of somebody who's trying to be courageous, but just knows that something bad's going to happen. Those monkeys are going to come out and take us again, you know. We really shouldn't go there. But there's certainly a bravery workshop I can take, and I'll be okay. Or... we don't want you inviting friends over to play. There are liability issues. We're going to get sued if you say that one time. Somebody's going to break their arm and then we're in trouble. Here are some sixes that you might recognize. At least they appear to be sixes. We always say what? We can never tell somebody else what their number is. You have to discover it for yourself. So these people could say, that doesn't fit me at all. But they seem to be people who can think the worst might be going to happen or who are extremely loyal and extremely committed to a cause greater than themselves. Michael Moore is certainly someone who sees the bad stuff all the time. And so was Woody Allen, I think. I don't know about Bono. He's always, he makes every six list I've ever seen. So somebody needs to do it. Yeah. Committed though. He's committed to causes, and that may be the. Yes, he's very committed to the things that he believes in. Yeah. So, you know, healthy sixes are great.
And he continues to be very courageous about this. Uh-huh. He's at a concert. Actually, I had an early UT concert where some people are having a fight to stop the entire concert. Just to say stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, sixes, when they're healthy, are amazing. You know. It says it's connected, so we'll see. Here's a song for a six. Song for a six? I think so. It's a long song. I'm not going to listen to it. You like it? You want to hear it all?
Okay.
I love it. You can sing. Feel free to sing along with the chorus. Don't be afraid, sixes. You can sing. Thank you.
Hey, Angie.
Oh, no. Here's the other one, and I love this one too. You do great. I used to think this would never happen, and now I'm here. I've heard that there could be, yes, especially if they're not real healthy. But I've never heard them say a two should never go with a six or something like that.
Seen an arrow that goes
danger.
So I think all of them can work with each other if they're healthy, because we need all the numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just fine. Yeah. Other thoughts? You firing your number? Yes?
You were going to give a test or something?
I did send it. I put it on the, I sent it out around. I sent it, did you not get the
link? No.
Well, darn. Okay, let me.
I mean, it's on Realm, it's not on.
I thought I sent you all an email from Realm that told you. Okay. Well, I thought.
Did you?
You think I did it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's never good.
Then I forget. If I can find her.
Yes, there are many, many tests. The Enneagram Institute. If you just Google Enneagram tests, and you'll get 100 of them. But the one that I was talking about is one that gives you 3 numbers, one in each of the centers. Because her belief is that while we have one number that dominates us, we also access numbers in at least one number in all the centers. So we're not just a thinker. We have emotions and we have gut instincts. And so it gives, I think, a fuller picture of who we are and kind of softens the just one number and that's all I am kind of thing. I got to the back. Let me see if I can find it. It's probably not right. It says app.trueself.io. What is that IO? I never saw that.
Can you say it again?
It says app.trueself.io.
That's
what
I did.
Yes, but is that how you get to it?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay.
You put www.
It doesn't there. Yeah. I'm just going to see.
You put it now.
Yeah, I got to it. Sign into True Self. They want your email address and how do you enter a password. I didn't have to. Did you have to do that? So, yeah, okay. And then they'll give you a full report of what your numbers mean and kind of give you an overview of how you might, who you might be.
Say it one more time.
App. Dot true self, all one word. Dot I O. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's my favorite. But there are many, and they're all good. I just like the idea of more than one number kind of giving you a fuller picture of how you operate. Because you know, I know what I am, but I can also see that I pull pieces of both of those others from the other centers. And when I'm healthier, I'm using all of them, right? I'm healthier if I'm accessing all the numbers the more I can, yes.
From that trip, I found that it didn't follow the little arrows that
yes.
are in the diagram.
Right, right. So you have those in addition to this. You would have those. Because what she's doing is she's saying which one do you access in each center. But then when you're accessing the 9, you're going to go to the 6, you're going to go to the 3, which may not be your other two numbers. You might be a 4 and a 5. But so now you've got all those numbers that you can access. And the more strength we can draw from the other ways of thinking, the better. It's like, you know, we don't have to just have my lens where I see the world this way, and so I think everybody's anxious. Isn't everybody afraid to go on a vacation without mapping it out perfectly? No? You mean some of you just take a drive and hope for the best? How could you do that? You know, but if I'm just zeroed in on my sixthness, I can't imagine that you could enjoy a trip, kind of just relax and go, and not know where you're going.
But the arrows, don't they indicate where you access or affected,
yes.
Stress
or
integration.
Yes. So if I'm a 9 and I'm under stress, I'm gonna go to that 6 and I'm gonna take not the best of the 6, but some of the not so good of the 6. You're gonna take from the other number at the level of health you are. So if you're average, you're gonna access other numbers at the average level. We can't average something healthier than we are, and we won't access something unhealthier than we are. So when you're in integration, it probably means you're at a higher level. You're going to access the best of the 3, not the worst. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because
you can't access another personality at a lower level than what you are, or at a higher level than what you are. You're going to go across. Yeah.
It's pretty common.
And what we haven't even talked about that there's 3 other ways that we all do things. We're either self-preserving, sexual, or social in our approach to life. And we haven't even, I'm not even going to get into that, because that's just really, that really complicates it. So you can be a social 6, a self-preserving 6, or a sexual 6. And that doesn't mean that you want to have sex with everybody. That just means that you have that intimacy desire to be close. So you can be any one of those. You can lead with anyway, that's just even more complicated, right? But we are complex individuals, aren't we? Yeah, we're not one-dimensional, you know, and we don't want to be treated like we're one-dimensional. So that's the beauty of the Enneagram, I think. The richness of it is that it lets you really go deep and see what Jesus sees and hopefully love what you see, like Jesus loves it. Yes, and the wings are important. Mm-hmm. Six with a five wing is going to be very different than a six who leans towards the seven. When we talk about the seven next week, that six is going to look real different than a six who can only lean towards the five.
Those are the subtypes.
Yeah. So, good.
But see, I've never heard anybody talk about like the stress and integration thing, like integrating things that you want to do the higher level.
Well, you're probably at a higher level if you are in integration. That means that things are going well and that you're functioning well. So you're probably going to pull from your integrating number at that higher level. But if you're falling apart and you're under stress, you're going to pull from the number at that lower level where you are.
So it's not real helpful then.
It's not necessarily helpful.
Symptom.
It could be more of a
symptom. We have no class next week.
We have no class next week. Come to Fig Fest at 10 o'clock service. Service is 10 o'clock next week. You come at 9, I think there's going to be donuts.